Welcome back to another didactic episode of the Blue Line Brothers. I'm Fred.
I'll be Frank today.
You will?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess if we're going to stick with that, we are the Blue Line Brothers, back for another episode. Now, I do have a quick question for you before we get into the highly technical issues that we normally discuss. how many ABC agencies paid you a visit after the last episode?
None of them paid me anything.
They didn't pay you anything?
No.
You have any, like, weird noises happen around your house?
There's some clicks and weird noises on my phone calls, but, you know.
Well, it's just your phone calls.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to record, you know, 1-900 hot feet calls, then fine.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, as we were concluding the last episode, you were getting a little technical about some things, and I thought, well, you know, it might raise a few eyebrows, and, you know, I figured maybe the United Association of Political Stupidity might get a hold of you or something like that.
And hey, you know, here's the thing. As long as they spell my name right, I don't care what list I'm on.
Okay. So F-R-A-N-K, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, okay. just so I have that down.
And can you guys move me to, like, the top 10? That would be really cool.
That would be cool, actually. Yeah, because you get some notoriety
mm-hmm.
along with it. That wouldn't be too bad.
I would even pose for a picture to be put on a poster.
You know what? We could have a lot of people. Is there any way they could link that up to our podcast so we could get a few more hits?
See, now you're thinking.
See? And speaking of that, we want to say thank you because now we've got people on 3 different continents listening to us.
Well, 8 countries sound better than 3.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Our newest one is Australia.
Australia. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. The 3rd continent. Yes. That is really pretty cool. Now I wonder if they're actually listening to us though. You think they actually translate anything?
Well, you know, they do speak English in Australia.
Well, I know, but it's more like Australian English.
Or, you know, Wingin Palm English.
Wingin Palm. There you go. Yeah, but what, like the French people that are listening to us just listen to us in French?
Parlez-vous français?
Or sprechen Sie Deutsch in German,
mm-hmm.
or something like that.
I don't know any Finnish, so sorry.
Oh, man. What about English? I mean, Great Britain. I mean, how are they going to listen to us?
I don't speak the Queen's English either.
Yeah. We won't. We are not going to.
We're the uncivilized people across the pond.
Exactly, yes. Uncivilized. Yeah. Mine's as sharp as a butter knife. Yes, that's who we are. But we are back again to talk about the impending doom and gloom. And, of course, we're getting close to that scary part of the year anyway. So, you know, it's kind of fitting, don't you think?
The president's birthday?
Close. Oh. Yeah. No, it's the year of the double spawn. I mean, politician, you know, here in this country.
Mm.
Yeah. We're allowing them to do anything that they want to do without any regard to any taxpayers or any of the rest of us plebs on the...
You know,
in the country.
Here's the thing. The government has become such an overreaching monstrosity that we the people need to put our foot down and say, hey, you work for us. You don't rule us.
You know, I heard that a lot as a police officer. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I agree with that. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people construed this as me being a wiseacre, you know. I mean, I don't know how anybody would ever think or conclude that I might be a wiseacre. But it's inevitable, you know, every day or two, every couple of days, someone, I pay your salary. So you know what? You're absolutely correct. You do pay my
Technically,
salary.
Technically, you are correct.
If you are a taxpayer, by the way. If you have not been paying your taxes, then no, you don't pay my salary. But the whole point is, yes, we are here. And law enforcement is a great example of this. We are public servants. And we need to remember that as that's exactly what we are. And yes, we get paid to handle all the BS and all that stuff as well as... you know, any accolades or anything like that. But here's the thing. excuse me, those of us who entered into this profession, I say for the, I'm using air quotes again on a podcast, but for the correct reasons, excuse me, we have a love for this piece of parchment that we commonly refer to as the United States Constitution. Mm-hmm. And by that, as a matter of fact, I used to keep, when I worked full-time patrol in a uniform, I actually carried a pocket version of the U.S. Constitution in my breast pocket in my uniform. And there were a couple of times where I actually pulled it out because somebody would, hey, you can't do that. No, actually, here, this is called the Fourth Amendment. Allow me to read it to you directly from the source. And here's how I, you know, I'm within the parameters of the Fourth Amendment and allow me to elucidate directly from the source. And, of course, that came in handy a number of times. But that's the whole thing. We... And I know those whom I worked with, and you know, I was pretty picky about who I worked with or who I associated with and stuff like that, but we all had that common desire to uphold that Constitution, okay? Because that's the whole point of that thin blue line concept, okay? I don't know who made a boatload of money, you know, come, oh, the thin blue line, but...
Damn sure it wasn't me.
yeah, it should have been us, but we weren't, once again, mine's as sharp as butter knives. Uh-huh. But, the whole thing is, though, you know, that's what that represents is society, okay? If that line severs or breaks, society is in a complete free fall down, all right? And when we talk about these topics, of which we, like the last episode, we've touched on a number of these topics in previous seasons, this is where we're getting to, is it comes down to that piece of parchment, okay? And, that's what separates, that's what makes America, America. However, once again, like we've made, I think we've talked about this a couple, I think it may have been in season one where we were discussing how we're not really in the Constitutional Republic of the United States right now. We're actually in a defunct corporation of the United States, yeah. Thanks to some occurrences in 1871. And of course, FDR helped perpetuate some of these things. That's why we have all these ABC agencies that are going awry right now. And doing, that's why we have a deep state going around doing all kinds of extremely evil things around the world. Mm-hmm. And yes, we do, especially, well, those listening from other countries, we don't have to reiterate all of this. But
if you are just happen to be listening from one of those affected countries, don't be mad at us, because believe me, we're not behind it.
Yeah, we're not behind it. We didn't push it.
And, we don't agree with it.
And here's the thing, 99.9% of society, actually, there's a good chunk of society that has no clue as to what's going on, period, in this country.
There's a large chunk of society that the only thing they care about is making sure that their selfies look good with a duck face.
Can you make a duck face, by the way?
I can, but...
You know. Well, I mean, is your duck face any better than what I've seen on the net? I mean, I'm just... Since you brought that up, I was just kind of curious.
Well, if I have two Pringles and turn them upside down, I can make a duck
face. Okay, I see. So you're telling me you need a little bit of help. You need some props then to do... Okay, all right. Well, and that's a whole thing. We have to realize the situation that we're in. And that's, of course, the biggest reason we call politicians devil spawn is because the politicians, the vast majority, not every single one, but the vast majority are accepting gratuities, if you will, from other sources other than their assigned stipend and salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that's a good way to say it.
I mean, how are you going to become a member of Congress, for example, be there for 10 years and end up being a multimillionaire?
Yeah, and your salary is what, $275,000 a year?
Probably.
I think now, I mean, adjusted for inflation and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was for a long time $175,000 for representatives.
But I mean, that doesn't make sense. There's no way... In hell, that you're going to make $250,000 a year and be a multi-millionaire with multiple houses and everything else. It's just, it's physically impossible.
Right.
Unless you're getting kickbacks, getting a little bit of under the table money from lobbyists and everything else. I mean, it's,
well, here's a clue. Now, once again, this comes actually directly from Karl Marx. Okay, back in his little communist revolution in 1917, the Communist Manifesto, and basically, once again, as we promote Sun Tzu on this channel, our enemies are promoting Marxism.
You mean the president?
President, various governors, representatives, associate of representatives, associate of associatives. Yes, we, and of course, once again, look at all the garbage that we have. You know, the jackass. I'm the person that's. I can't even call that idiot a person. That's in the office right now.
I like to call him a squatter.
Exactly. I mean, I have more respect for a squatter. Let's put it that way. Maybe we should stop beating around the bush and get straight to the point.
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. But at any rate, the thing is, the Communist Manifesto dictates, you know, some tactics and strategy, if you will, of how to, you know, spread and proliferate communism around the world. Of course, that's the number one goal of communists, is to engulf the world in communism. And the main technique utilized is to accuse your enemy of that, what you do, what you practice yourself. And we see this plain as day several times over and over, where once again it's like, oh, you did this. Oh, really? Well, you're the person that was doing insider trading, you know, reference these companies, that your little fiefdom within the house oversaw, and all of a sudden you shut down these companies because of whatever quote-unquote illegal activities. But yet you were able to profit from the insider trading because you knew when the governments were going to close and when your agencies were going to, you know, enforce whatever, however, and all this stuff. And suddenly there's a couple $1 million in your bank account.
And the prime example of that is Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And I'm not above dropping names, so.
Well, that's the whole thing. So far, just about every politician. And before we get too deeply in the weeds, well, we're already in the weeds, I guess.
I was going to say, we're about.
The thing is, for those of you who still believe in your political party, pull your head out of your rear end. Because your political party is just as complicit as the other party or parties involved. Okay, actually, that's one of the biggest downfalls of our political system. Okay, our forefathers, those of whom actually composed that piece of parchment of which we referred earlier, the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, you mean the ones that are spinning in their graves right now?
They are spinning in their graves right now because the last thing they wanted was a party, political party system, because their first fear was that the politicians would feed the party and not address their constituents. Okay, so the political people are those devil spawn that are in office. Once again, the vast majority, not every single one of them, but the vast majority serve their parties. And actually, something that nobody wants, well, it's released now. I mean, people actually do refer to it now. But for the longest time, they wanted to make sure nobody knew about the Uniparty. Mm-hmm. And Frank, how about you tell us a little bit about the Uniparty?
See, you're going to make me go down this road that I don't want to go down.
Well, you were naming names, so I figured, you know, we just go ahead.
I'm going to put this in a very kindergarten-ish way. So, you know, you have your two sides of the house. You have your Republican, you have your Democrats. So, people, they side with one or the other. What they don't see is in the middle, you have members of both who don't care about you. They don't care about what the individual parties want. They have one agenda, and that's what they move forward on. And it's just, it's... how do I want to put this?
Well, how about we include the military-industrial complex, some of these other, the deep state, if you will.
It's kind of, it's such a large complex. You have every government agency, you have every every branch of the military, and then you have the, shall we say, the unsavory parts of the government and military that are all involved in this big ball of goodness. And that is what is running down the middle of the street while everybody is fighting like, Democrats suck. No, Republicans suck. They are so blinded that they're not seeing what's in front of them.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's the old saying, it's like you can't see the forest. You know, that saying?
Through the trees, yes.
Well, guess what? It's right there, and you don't see it. You are allowing it to happen by being stupid and thinking, well, my party's the better party.
Well, here you go, Frank. So how are you going to fix that? Yeah, the answer that I hear is, well, you need to vote. why won't that work, Frank?
Because your votes don't matter. Well, let's look back at the last election.
Well,
you're going to tell me this rube that's in office right now got 81 million votes?
Well, personally, I think he's kind of a, okay. I can't even.
This guy can't hit his ass with both hands.
He couldn't when he was.
And then that turd that's with him. I mean, okay. Between the two of them, they are responsible. See, don't get me started. Those two are responsible for putting more people in prison than you can.
But yet,
you can shake a stick at. I mean,
okay, they blame
the state of California. They have, yes, the three strike rule. Guess who was the biggest proponent of that? The worthless waste of skin that's squatting next to the president. Mm-hmm. Biggest proponent. Okay, let's look at the president that's the squatter president now. Let's go back in history and look at everything that he did. He was a big proponent of, well, let's put a certain group of people in prison because they're not worthy. Mm-hmm. Okay? But you're going to tell me that guy got 81 million votes. No, he did not.
Oh, no. Actually,
your individual vote does not matter. It doesn't. It does not matter.
Well, who determines the candidates?
Not us.
It would be the parties.
Exactly.
Right. The very parties that are corrupt and are a part of the cabal or the deep state or however you want to put it.
And here's the thing. There is no new blood in any election. There is no new blood.
Well, we have had a couple of U.S. reps. Having said that, though, let's stick to your point for a second, because
when I say there are no new blood, let's say that we wanted to run in the next election. Well, guess what? I got to go out in the backyard and get millions of dollars off of the money tree just to buy into the election. Mm-hmm. And then I have to get approved by whatever party I want to run under. Not approved by we the people. I can't run on, hey, I am the people's person.
No. Party.
I have to run Democrat, I have to have a label. And then I have to get approved by that group of people. Not we the people.
Exactly.
There which is the problem right there. So I shouldn't go any further with this, because that should open your eyes and go, damn, you're right. We the people don't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm. We haven't mattered for quite a while.
And when I say there's no new blood, that means people like us are not going to just step into the election. I can't just throw my hat in the ring and go from there.
No.
I have to buy into it. And then once I buy into it and get approval, I have to kiss ass and, you know, kind of ride somebody's coattails to get, no. See,
so what you're telling me is, even though you are a blue line brother, you still don't have enough clout to get on a ballot and run for federal office.
I can't get a free cup of coffee.
Are you sure? I'll buy you one.
Well, but still, that's not meaning that it's not free. That just means that I'm on a handout.
Well, okay. If you look at it that way, I won't buy a cup of coffee. How about that?
Fine.
Okay.
But I go back to my original statement. But, I can't even get a free cup of coffee.
There you go. But that's the whole thing. Look at, and like I said, not everybody. Oh, by the way, before I forget, those who don't believe that the last election was corrupted, there is plenty of evidence. Yes, that's right. Something called fact actually can be found. There are actually a few people that are in jail in the state of Michigan. There are still some active investigations being conducted in Arizona and Nevada and a couple of other states.
I think Wisconsin was one of them too, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Ironically, those are the same states that are going after that particular candidate for even opening his mouth and trying to accuse somebody of impropriety.
Yep.
Now, once again, let's go back to that Communist Manifesto strategy again. Yes, see, once again, it's evident in so many places. And once again, one must first open his or her eyes in order to see what's going on. This is one reason we promote all these tenets of Sun Tzu. Study Sun Tzu, read Sun Tzu, become Sun Tzu, and you will see let me air quotes again on a podcast, but you will begin, your mind's eye will open and you will begin to see things going on around you. You'll be able to identify that, hey, you may not be able to just magically point a finger and say, this person did it. Not necessarily, but you will open your eyes and say, there is something amiss here. It is not adding up. There is some impropriety afoot and something needs to be investigated properly, and I say properly because, once again, we have plenty of proof out here of people being railroaded into various things. It is something, even as a police officer, we have to, number one, we should be doing our due diligence with every investigation that we have, but a part of, I should say, law enforcement survival is that we have to realize how easy it is for us to get railroaded into things. How many times has that happened, that, you know, somebody probably knows somebody that's had some issues. Something
as
simple.
Those are called scapegoats.
Well, there you go. But something as simple as a jilted female, perhaps. You know, and once I bring that up, just because I know of two individuals that I was fairly close with, I worked closely with, I should say, a number of years back, and actually had one happen to have an ex-wife. And one happened to have an ex-girlfriend that, for whatever reason, once again, it takes two people to get together. It takes two people to separate. So, not picking and choosing sides or anything, but, when these two particular situations occurred, the female decided, hey, I'm going to get back at Bob or George or whatever. And, well, I'm just going to, you know, maybe slap myself a little bit, make it look like Bob or George smacked me around a little bit, and then I'm going to go call the police and oh, blah, blah. And you know what? I'm going to take his job away from him. I'm going to take his freedom away from him. He can't carry a gun anymore, and this is how I'm going to do it. He thinks he loves police work more than he loves me, so I'm going to do this. Okay. Now, fortunately for the two people that I knew, a proper investigation was conducted both times, and the truth ended up coming out. will that happen all the time? Once again, in this day and age, who really knows? I mean, once again, we're in a day and age where we're changing the definition of words just to be able to fit what we want within our particular parameter, so we can manipulate and commit whatever subterfuge we need and move on.
Well, so, I mean, come on, think about it. In today's age, we got, what, 278 different genders?
Yeah, 278 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure by the time this gets out there, it'll be up to, like, 285.
It could be, yeah.
So, you know, traditional stuff, I mean, what you were talking about, commonly referred to as she was baking him a cake.
There you go. That's what we call it in the in the cop world. We call it baking a cake. Yes, exactly.
But you can take that problem and apply it to any situation. So let's look at the government. They're doing the same thing. And who are they baking that cake for? We the people.
Well, I'm going to tell you, here's a good example. The actual unit I used to work with, housing police in a major Midwestern metropolitan city. And our unit, we were a small unit. There were about 34 of us total. And we were assigned to federally owned, city-managed housing areas for low income and things like that. Well, my eyes really opened within just a month or two of working there.
It took you that long?
It took me, well, I still don't have my eyes fully open. Oh. You know, because once again, I have a mind as sharp as a
If you have two eyes that are half open, if you close one, then one's fully open.
Well, I'm like Frank Drebin, man. I used a closed eye first to look through the microscope. Yeah. Frank, you use your open eye next time. Oh, hey, I see the fingerprint now. Okay. See, everything I learned about police work, I watched Police Squad. Yeah. All 12 episodes and how many movies?
Oh, you know what? Hang on. So the presidency now is like the real-life version of the airplane movie, the original airplane movie.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. We've got nuns smacking each other around. We've got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And now, you know, having utilized that analogy, we only have one step further to go. See, this is why we're on the hairy edge of
complete destruction. I can do you even one better. I could do you one better.
I know what you're going to say, because I'm saying we're on that hairy edge. That one more step, Blazing Saddles.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes. Our government is on the hairy edge of delving straight into Blazing Saddles. That, my friends, ladies and gentlemen, you have heard it first here on the Blue Line Brothers. Yes, that's right.
It's a perfect analogy, too. I mean, Mel Brooks is the presidency. Hedley Lamarr is the government as a whole. And,
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah.
But what happens at the end of the movie?
Oh, man, it's been a long time. I have to think about
that. The townspeople rose above and stomped all that
Well,
out.
See, that's the thing. See, in a roundabout way, that's what we're getting to here.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole thing. And so, once again, that could be a very appropriate analogy. But things, everything in this world is cyclical. Okay, everything in this world is. And right now, we are approaching a peak of about two or three different cycles in life. One is an 80-year peak, or an 80-year cycle. One is, a 50-year cycle.
I think there's it's either a 20 or 25-year
right,
cycle.
Right, exactly. So, once again, a lot of people, once again, every generation, there's a portion of the generation that talks about, the end days, and we're all going to die, and tomorrow we're going to have a second coming, a third coming, a 16th coming, and all this stuff. And really what I think is we're going to have some really nasty times coming. And I'm talking about nasty times that nobody alive on this planet has experienced. Okay, that's the whole thing. And that's why we're really, beating this dead horse about preparations and stuff like that. Because we are running headlong into a situation that nobody has yet to experience, number one. That leads to, what's really going to happen? I mean, even the people that are quote-unquote in the know, okay, what's actually going to happen? Because we don't know. We've got the cabal, the evil people of which we've been describing thus far. We also have a group of good guys. I'm hoping they're still doing their thing. Once again, we don't know for sure. Once we can try to look at some of these markets and see some manipulation in a positive direction, like with precious metals and stuff like that, and see that, okay, yeah, somebody is trying to fight back a little bit against the Jamie Dimons of the world and the Chase Banks of the world. But once again, getting back to that, we've got J.P. Morgan, we've got Bank of America, and Citibank are pretty much the three main bank, and of course J.P. Morgan being number one, you know, head and shoulders above the other two, that have an excellent track record of manipulating not only the metals market but the stock market, attempting to conduct manipulation exercises on the bond market. The bond market, once again, people have to realize is about four or five times larger than the stock market. So, in other words, the real money, quote-unquote, here we go, air quotes again. Excuse me, the real money that's made is made in the bond market, not in the stock market. So, once again, Frank, going back to your point about these representatives and how they make their money, maybe not quite on the up and up, if you will. They're doing it not just on the stock market, but manipulating bonds through the Fed. And, of course, the Federal Reserve Bank is a whole other topic that we, oh, my golly. But the whole thing is, it's all about manipulation. And that, once again, like we have a 401k. Somebody was talking to me about their 401k. I said, okay, why do you even have a 401k, really, when it comes down to it? You buy and hold stocks, okay? You buy and hold stocks up and down and up and down. Okay, how much do you make in 50 years, you know, and you can actually retire? How many of us can actually retire now? Now, 50 years ago, could you retire? Yes, there wasn't nearly as much manipulation in the market and things like that. But nowadays, you're a 401k, you'll be lucky to make anything after what, you know, you're going to lose your stuff. It's designed that way because your 401k doesn't make you money. It makes the J.P. Morgans of the world money, okay?
Well, and see, here's the thing. The manipulation of all those systems, like the bond market, for example, the manipulation of that, it's not illegal. They found a way to flood the market, make your bonds useless, and then buy them all back up, and I guess so they own it now.
Here's a good example. Your 401k, for instance. Now, Frank, do you have one currently?
Not anymore.
Okay. Now, if you remember, your 401k, you are highly constricted as the owner of that 401k as to how you can invest your funds. Mm-hmm. You have specific parameters within which you must stay, okay, you're fined for this, you have extra fees for that. I mean, every transaction has a fee, all this stuff. Pay attention to the system, and you pay attention to those parameters. The system is not designed for you to make money, okay? Once again, they can manipulate things. Now, once again, we're in this world where we just change a definition of a word to fix whatever we need to in order to get whatever we need. Okay, well, and that's how they work these manipulations in the bond market and the stock market. Okay, yes, there are many illegal acts being committed, but who's going to enforce them, number one? If the people enforcing, in charge of enforcing those acts are a part of the manipulation, mm-hmm, then what's going to happen? Well, nobody's going to get... Look at J.P. Morgan, okay? They were slapped on the hand, okay? There's videotape of J.P. Morgan. I mean, Jamie Dimon Associates, and I'm talking associates like his VPs and I mean, close associates, doing these interviews on TV stating, oh, no, we don't manipulate anything. And exactly while they were manipulating the silver price. And then, of course, they actually do get nailed about 10, 12 years later. Okay? And they slap on the wrist. that slap on the wrist, you know, I don't know, on a podcast, it, you know, but I'm trying. But the whole thing is they get a slap on the wrist. Here's a fine of $900,000. Oh, okay, you made $10 billion over the course of whatever, manipulating whatever market, but, oh, yeah, here's a $900,000 fine. Oh, and Mr. Dimon, you're still allowed to be the CEO. Oh, well, because why not? You know, Jamie Dimon's actually paying off the guy that just, you know, did I say that out loud?
Oh, by the way?
I'm sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
And as much as I hate to say this, society as a whole, that information is effectively falling on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You put it right in front of them, and they're not going to see it. They're not going to understand it because they're not going to pay attention.
Why would they?
Because they're happy with their latest iPhone, their shoes, their makeup, and, you know. And
are they feeling any this, that, direct ill effect from it?
Of course not.
Hmm.
I mean, think of... See, I'm about to get on that soapbox, but think of how many government handouts there are, how many state handouts there are. You know, it's like, nobody cares.
Well, yeah.
I'm living on the government's dime. I don't care.
Here's the funny part to that. Let me get back to that housing story for a second.
You're gonna pay me to live here. You're gonna mm-hmm. pay me to go get food.
Well, who was actually in charge of who was assigned what apartment and all this stuff back in the day? We have.
Well, how far back in the day do you want to go? Because it used to be the welfare office.
Well, yeah. But if you climb the proverbial ladder, you're gonna always get who said that a long time ago? Yeah, no matter how far you get, no matter how big the organization, you're gonna come to one person mm-hmm. eventually. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what
I think
happened.
His last name was Ponzi.
Probably was. Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Ponzi, Mr. Jack yeah. Ponzi. Yeah. Well, back to the housing story for just a second. That when my eyes were opened, that once again, in law enforcement, if we're going to conduct a proper investigation, we have to allow the investigation to lead us. Okay, I've mentioned that before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I am not going to taint the investigation with my opinion because I'm not going to, I should not, as an investigator, waste my time. I should not waste the taxpayer's dime and time to chase my own opinion. I think it was Colonel Mustard, you know, in the library with a mm-hmm. candlestick. When it was actually the maid with a butcher knife in the kitchen, okay? Yep. Well, the whole point is I have to allow the evidence to lead me. Well, at housing, we stuck to that ethos, all right? Mm-hmm. So in other words, of course, within the inner city, just like every place now, okay? I mean, there's a web of all kinds of crap going on from all kinds of different people to all kinds of, from sources to everywhere, okay? And now we have that all over the place because, of course, we have a lot of this crime radiating out because, once again, nobody's getting put in jail for it anyway. So nowadays,
they leave the jail before you do.
Exactly. Well, that happened back then, too. But the whole thing is, so we initiate investigations. Hey, it could be something starting off, something as simple as, hey, you know, a little girl came up to me and said, hey, you know, there's some funny smelling smoke coming from that apartment every time I go to school in the morning. Oh, okay. So we check, knock on the door. Once again, we call it knock and talk back in the day. It's like knock on the door. Once again, we're police officers. We're in full uniform. You don't have to talk to us if you don't want to. But, you know, we have some neighbors complaining about a funny odor coming from the apartment. Now, once again, when I was talking about it before, we were on federally owned property. It's kind of like being on a military base. Mm-hmm. And, Frank, you know all about that. Okay, the MPs can come by and do what? You know, because once again...
Whatever they want.
Yeah, because you were government issue. But now we can't go to that level on those housing properties. But as housing enforcement officers, we could enforce rent agreements and things like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, they had specific rules, just like on a military base. If you invite a known felon into your apartment, that's against the rules, Okay, and of course they do that because they do not want people promoting drug sales and stuff like that. So as long as you, now, once again, there's a process of due process, if you will, for, you know, if I happen to accuse you as a police officer, you know, I say, hey, you know, there, Joe Schmuckatelli was in here. I know Joe Schmuckatelli because I actually arrested him for a laundry list full of felonies, and I know he actually got convictions, and that was 5 years ago. I know he did time, blah, blah, blah. This is against the rules. And they say, oh, you're right, Joe Schmuckatelli was in my house. Okay, fine. I write out basically like a ticket and say, there you go. You've got to show up to a hearing. And basically we go through, okay, well, did you, if you can prove that you didn't know Joe Schmuckatelli was a convicted felon, then okay, fine. You're not going to lose your apartment. But from here on out, you had best not allow Joe Schmuckatelli to come into your apartment. Well, what inevitably happens?
Well, there
Joe Schmuckatelli ends up coming back into the apartment. Okay, now that's a strike against you. Three strikes and you lose your apartment. Of course, back then we had a laundry list full of people, you know, only so many apartments, and we had thousands and tens of thousands of people that were trying to get an apartment because they were severely discounted or free, depending upon your rate of income. Well, you know, for some reason, that just attracts all kinds of improprieties. Okay, but you would think the improprieties might come from, you know, the residents. You know, I'm just trying to run some drugs through my little apartment here, which that happened quite a bit. Okay, but not as often as you might think. It did happen, but what really happened was that we had politicians that had their own little scheme set up, okay? And various, depending upon the politician, that wasn't all the same scheme or anything. But it's funny how it involved public housing properties and the manipulation of who got which apartment and who qualified for what and all this stuff and all that. Well, we would conduct an investigation, say, for drugs. And so we're not trying to guess who was doing what. We follow the evidence. Oh, Joe Schmuckatelli was here. Well, okay, then we start investigating the known friends and family members and contacts of Joe Schmuckatelli, who happens to be, oh, wait, there's a city representative that knows Joe Schmuckatelli. Huh.
Probably related to him.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see here. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, not only Schmuckatelli's also related to the mayor's secretary, and okay, well, let's dig into this a little bit further. Oh my gosh, looky here. We've got a line of money going from this person through the secretary's office, and oh my gosh.
And there's only one door separating the secretary's office?
So, the whole thing is, what ends up happening, and there again, what I just described is fictional. Okay, it is fictional, but just to give you an idea of just how easy it is to go down that quote-unquote rosy path and find, holy crap, guess what's really happening, okay? Well, shortly thereafter, guess what? There was no longer a need for housing police.
But wait, I can even add another facet to that.
Yes.
So then there's the flow of state money. So let's say you have a recently defunct mental hospital in this large municipality.
Yes.
And the residents of said mental hospital, where do they go? Oh, that's right. Housing.
Public housing, yes. Downtown high-rises.
So then you have that certain group of representatives that are now funneling state money for those individuals because why? They have an affliction. We'll just call it an affliction. So that means that they're probably getting some form of disability assistance mm-hmm. from the state. Well, now, where do you think that money goes to? They're giving them housing, so we're going to just take a percentage of your assistance every month.
Because, once again, we're talking about federal property on the housing, and we're also talking about various forms of federal assistance along with the state.
So you got two separate avenues of money that are, on the surface, legally coming to one area.
Yes. Yes. And so what happens is we start to uncover this stuff as the duly appointed public safety officials that we were. And lo and behold, within a couple of months, we've cut the funding, federal funding, for the housing police agencies. And so what happens is we happen to read about it in the newspaper, by the way. They didn't even tell us.
Imagine that.
We knew this was coming, but we didn't. Once again, utilizing intuition and some coply skills, we figured out a rough time frame about when things might come down, and we were actually pretty accurate with that. But nonetheless, we did read about it in the newspaper, in the Metropolitan section, by the way. In fact, I remember the day that that I happened to find it in the paper. We had just broken roll call, and my partner and I stopped off at a gas station to grab something to drink, and I happened to see the paper, and lo and behold, in the Metro section, in one of the subheadings was housing and police to be disbanded by the end of the week.
Imagine that.
This was on January 2nd. Yeah. And by the 5th, we were to be persona non grata. So I looked at my partner, and he looked at me, and I said, hey, read this. I said, because you're not going to believe it if it comes out of my mouth. And, of course, he reads it, and he looks at me and says, what are we going to do? I said, absolutely nothing. I said, absolutely. I am not going to run any risk of any personal liability from here until then. Now, the thing is, we were all highly torqued off about things because, once again, we knew what was really going on. We knew who the bad guys were. We knew how they were doing stuff and all this. Okay, but obviously, we had zero power to do anything about it. Now, what they did, though, is rub some salt in the wound. I, believe it or not, I am the kind of guy that likes to, how should I say, I look forward to opportunities where I can get in your face and just stick it right in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think you're slick, but here's who you really are. Bam. Here's what you really did. Bam. Here's what I have proof of. Bam. See, because once again, it all goes back to all these crooked bastards, okay, the devil spawn. It's all of the taxpayers' money, okay? It's all the people that can barely make ends meet now that still have to pay their taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the money that's being used for all this illicit activity, all right? Now, on top of that, so I took the time, you know, since we weren't going to actually enforce anything, since we were going to be laid off here in a couple of days, I had some time to spend in roll call. So I compose an email. It's a rather lengthy email, but I started, I think it actually, now there again, it took a couple months for me to kind of get some some feedback on this, but it actually made it to a deputy chief of the police department. I didn't know that at the time, but... Oh, no, no, I'm glad I did, because I did. I called out a certain major, and I worked my way down. But after about, I think it was about an 8 or 9 page email that I I developed. But I was very professional about things. There was no ad hominem arguments involved. I did not call anybody names. I did not do any of that stuff. But I was very systematic about what I did. So I started from the top. I said, this person, I didn't say a piece of garbage, but basically defined it. They are combat ineffective, and they have no business wearing a badge, and they should not possess an ID because of this, this, and this. They violated their oath because of this, this, and this. They failed to do this, this, and this. They failed to train. They failed to do this. They failed to do that. I mean, I went down every avenue. And after about 8 or 9 pages, I got to my little paragraph. And basically I said, by the way, I'm not one to hide behind a computer terminal. Okay. So I am very willing and looking forward to raising every one of these concerns of which I have delineated within this email in person with each and every member that I have listed by name, rank, within this email. And that's how I can, and boom, I sent it to everybody, every member of the agency, and close everybody that I had mentioned in the email and all this stuff. Well, fast forward to the day, our last day, we had to turn in our stuff, okay? They actually had federal agents sitting behind our roll call building. And they were there to make sure, as I pull up, I see a couple of suits in front of my car, I get out. And before I'm allowed to fully disembark my vehicle, I am told by an agent that if there's so much as a uniform button missing from the equipment that I'm turning in, I will be brought up on federal theft charges.
Bring it on.
Well, that kind of irritated me at the time. I was not in the best of moods when I arrived, for some reason, and I proceeded to exit my vehicle, and I faced a gentleman. I squared off on this gentleman and sized him up a little bit, and I advised that I really didn't appreciate that, and that you might want to step away from my area, if you will, so that I may actually conclude the process of turning in my equipment properly and all of that, because if not, I'm probably going to conduct a rather in-depth review of hand-to-hand combat that you probably didn't cover in Quantico. So I was in one of those moods, and we finally got stuff turned in and everything, but funny enough, nobody was around the roll call area for me to approach and discuss any of these topics or tenets, of which I so politely delineated within my email. Fast forward about a year or so later, I go into a restaurant with a buddy of mine for breakfast on a Sunday morning, and lo and behold, major that I just made mention of was actually sitting with his family at a big round table, and he didn't see me. I noticed him. I sat down, of course. Water's under the bridge. I'm not going to bring up anything, and it, you know, especially with that time passing and all that. But the whole point is, I can't help but think about these people and what they're responsible for doing, what they've allowed to happen. The people that really fall victim to this stuff are all of the taxpayers, especially those who don't have enough money to make ends meet because of inflation, which is a form of taxation, and all this other stuff. So in a roundabout way, we all are affected by this stuff. Okay, that's the whole gist of these stories, is that you may not think that you have, you're suffering direct negativity from this stuff going on, but you are. You have to stop and realize it, but that's the whole thing. So once again, guys and gals, I don't care if you live in this country or anywhere abroad, the stuff that's coming down economically is going to affect us all around the world this time around.
It's going to be one of those things that by the time you realize what's going on, it's too late.
In some respects, it already is too late. Because...
right now, you still have the time to, how should I say, pad your pockets before it gets to the point of no return.
There are some things that you can do, yes. And once again, we are not financial advisors. We're not, we have minds as sharp as butter knives. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is, yeah, there are things that you can do. And we're going to get into that in the next episode. Talk about the positive side of things, how we really do have some control, and we really can make some differences in our own personal lives, and we can be much better people for doing it. Let's just put it that way.
I don't want to be a better people.
Well, I know you don't, Frank. Hell, you don't even want a free cup of coffee.
Mm-mm.
Jeez, oh, Pete. I'm beginning to think they did something to you really messed up with Benning.
They probably did.
Because there's just, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, water under the bridge, but, I don't think I ever successfully passed any psyche eval. So, but, you know, that's here and there.
Do we really, you know what? It's awful sunny outside.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, look at that nice breeze. Yeah, yeah. The birds chirping. Yeah.
Oh, Just real quick, so your email, I like to call that as a kinder, gentler version of the scorched earth.
Yes. It was. That's a whole thing. Yeah, you know, that's really, in all seriousness, that's the whole thing. If I could, it's just like being a police officer. If I could affect one person in a positive way, was it worth being a police officer? And I will say yes. As burnt out as I got, and I know you've experienced some burnout, you know, most of us in the business, if we've been in the business any longer than a few years, we've suffered burnout in some level. Okay, but that's the whole thing. The question I ask myself is yes. That particular email, it actually got, I know exactly, it got to at least two people. I mean, really got to them, okay? I mean, they really, because once again, I got some feedback. And so once again, I'm not, was it worth being laid off? Of course not. I would love to have a pension right now. You know, it'd be nice to have a lot of things. But yeah, the satisfaction of actually getting through to at least two key people that actually had to rethink their personal values and you know, their decisions in life, like, yeah, that was worth it. So,
well, a lot of that can be put under one word, and that's complacency. Mm-hmm. They were in whatever position they were in, they became complacent and didn't care.
Well, okay, now that brings, what's the next question, Frank, as far as, okay, what makes you do something illegal or immoral to that level?
Personal gain.
Exactly. Well, I'm not getting paid enough. Well, you knew that when you took the job, okay? I knew that when I took the job, okay? So I had to work two jobs, or I had to work part-time. I had to do whatever, but I understood that when I got into the business. I understood that there were a lot of people that weren't going to like me. Okay, fine. I still wanted to do the job, and I still wanted to do a good job. Once again, you know, I can't condone, especially people that have been wearing a uniform, to make those decisions, to screw over the people of whom they serve, to screw over their family members, to screw over their coworkers, and to besmirch the badge like that, when the rest of us work so hard to put some type of sheen on it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, on that happy note,
yay!
You know, we're gonna get happy. We are gonna get positive on the next episode. I promise. We have to, kind of like what's going on now. We have to experience the bad stuff so we know it's there. And now, boom, we can start working on the good stuff.
Okay, fine.
Don't be so excited about this. I mean,
you're telling me I have to just embrace the suck and move on?
Well, I thought maybe you'd be like, you know, I could wave a chocolate chip cookie in front of Cookie Monster and, you know.
No.
No? Okay. No. Well, all right. I guess we'll just have to embrace the suck and move on.
All right. On that note.
Well, I'm Fred.
I'm Frank.
We're still the Blue Line Brothers, so until next time.
See you later.